The following program is sponsored by Team Reba of RE/MAX Metro Eastside and Eric Osnes of Home Street Bank Home Mortgage. Welcome to Open House with Team Reba. Each week, Team Reba will be bringing you a roundup of real estate and mortgage news, along with information about the local Puget Sound region, highlighting some of the best and brightest entertainment options, family events, neighborhood highlights, and local business interviews, so you can feel right at home in the Pacific Northwest.
Welcome once again to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba House of Team Reba, RE/MAX Metro East Side.
And I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank Home Mortgage. Happy Saturday.
Yes, happy Saturday to you. It's been a beautiful week.
I know, another crisp fall day, almost winter, I guess. Finally starting to get a little cooler outside.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the whole week has had some gorgeous, gorgeous days of bright sun and crisp weather where you get to put layers on. I just love it.
Well, I'm happy it's getting colder. I spent the week after Thanksgiving up in Canada, up at Whistler, and not a lot
of snow.
One of
your happy spots.
There. It is one of my happy spots. So get me on the snow in the winter, and I'm just like smiling ear to ear. So.
But if they didn't have that much snow, were you still happy?
It still worked out okay.
Okay.
That's right. That's right.
If I recall, I think you mentioned something about doing some of your Christmas shopping up there, and you were happy about the exchange rate.
You know me. I like a good bargain, and I'm
that's
all over that exchange
rate. That's a polite
way of
putting it.
Yeah, yeah.
I usually call it cheap, but
yeah.
You know, hey,
yeah.
Or frugal, or right. Fiscally conservative.
There you go.
Now I'm fiscally conservative, so there
yeah,
you go.
There you go.
You're not cheap. I know you're not cheap.
I've seen
the things that you buy.
But at a good price.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're a bargain value shopper.
There you go.
And
yeah,
I'm totally down with that. I was actually telling someone earlier today that we should go do a trip to Vancouver because I was going to take a cue from you and be like, oh, we should go up to Vancouver and do a little shopping. I haven't been up there for a while.
I love that city. That's a fun city.
Oh,
it's a great place
city.
To go.
Yeah.
And there's just so many cool spots and stops up there. And, of course, it happens to be on the way to Whistler.
So. Oh, yeah. Where my friend Denise Brown, who we've had on the show,
walked past her office there, but she wasn't home.
Oh, you actually look to say hi.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you
yeah.
should don't. You know what? Next time you go up,
contact
her.
She's right up there in the marketplace.
She would love to see you.
Yeah.
She would love to get a chance to say hi and hang out and have a glass of wine or whatever.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, no,
she's
phenomenal to hang out with.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So we had you with the exchange rates up there, and you were probably calculating some numbers. Hopefully, you weren't doing too many loans.
Well, this time of year is busy for me.
Me too.
Lots of people want to be in their home by Thanksgiving, their new home, or they want to be in their new home by Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, vacations be damned. We're busy working and making sure that we get all those things put together. So I like that. This time of year is sort of fun, you know, fun for me for that.
So I find that I'm going to throw some of these little nuggets out for our listeners because this is also that time of year where a lot of people think that our industries slow down.
Mm.
And people are always shocked that I tell them I'm 16 years in on this now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every year, this time of year is in the top three activity or closing levels of my business.
Right.
And people are always like, what? Like around Christmas? And I'm like, absolutely.
Oh,
and you have no idea how many times on Thanksgiving and Christmas Day I get phone calls.
Yeah.
You know, because when other people are getting their time off and are sitting with their families and they're realizing, hey, you know, maybe we should get closer to grandma.
Right.
Like, grandma's having some issues. Maybe we need to move closer. Or, hey, we just had a grandbaby. Maybe we should move closer. You know, I've got a client who's selling a place right now that they just had a baby the other day. In fact, I thought it was really great. It shares a birth date with my father of December 2nd.
Oh,
so I was very excited that they share this wonderful day. But, you know, it becomes a very, very busy time of year. And a lot of people forget that corporate relocation, if someone's on a calendar fiscal year, Boeing regularly, you know, has people moving in and out around this time of year. And, you know, there's just and there's also a lot of investor activity. I can't even begin to tell you how many phone calls from investors I'm dealing with right now who want to try and get a transaction or a 1031 deferred exchange underway right now.
Well, that's what I see a lot of that. They want to close by the end of the year.
Yes.
You know, so there's a big, always
or
a big
at least
push.
Under, at least under contract,
mm-hmm.
right? Because then
that's
they have
that
timeline. But,
that's right. Well, gosh, I mean, I think every home that I've ever bought has been this time of year.
That's because you're a value shopper.
I'm a value shopper. I know. Well.
Well, no, but okay. No, here's the reality. Everyone's always like, oh, but there's a depression in the prices. Not always necessarily, but here's the thing if you're a seller to consider. because there are people that when they're moving this time of year, there's a real deep desire or need behind it.
Right, because the yard's not pretty, the flowers aren't blooming, it's dark, it's gray, it's wet.
Right, but the stats are if you sell in the summer where it is the largest number of homes on the market, mm-hmm. you typically only have a 53% chance of selling, whereas in this time of year, you actually have about a 74% chance of selling. And we're coming into a more normalized market here. Mm-hmm. So those percentages are becoming more relevant again here.
Sure,
and as
sure.
we've talked about since June, we have had all of these adjustments with what the marketplace is doing, going from 3 weeks of inventory to 2.5 months of inventory.
Yeah, thank heavens.
Paying attention to that. And we always say it's like people who are moving their full families, like if they have school-aged children, it's because there's an absolute requirement.
Right.
But if they are not people with school-aged children, they're moving just whenever it's convenient mm-hmm. or whenever it makes an appropriate timeline for them. And so there's always something going on in the marketplace. And so for professionals like me who do this full-time, who aren't just the hobbyists out there, because we keep saying there's 1.3 million real estate agents in the United States and only 43,000 of us, which I'm included in that number, do more than 25 transactions a year.
I'm smiling right now because I'm actually working on a couple transactions with some hobbyists.
And oh, how fun for you.
Interesting. Lots of crazy things go on with those types of transactions.
They do get interesting. Yeah. I actually was just thanking another agent earlier this week for her professionalism, because she's also full-time like I am, mm-hmm. and we were discussing some things and then talking about some of the hobbyists out there and the frustrations that we have and how they really degrade our industry.
It's
frustrating
because
the level of professionalism goes down. Mm-hmm. And as you know, because you helped with the loan on this, my assistant Lucky and mm-hmm. her husband Brian just bought a home.
Yeah.
And she got to see firsthand that the agent on the other side of the transaction, she saw how we had to hound her for information, and it was like,
right.
and it means something different when it's your transaction, because Lucky's watched for over a year what goes on in our office, but now she felt what that was like mm-hmm. for our customers.
It's really frustrating at times.
Yeah.
And every now and then on the lending side, I end up having to do bailouts of situations that have happened. We've got a client right now who purchased a home with a hobbyist agent. And it happened to be a foreclosed property. So they used what we call a hard money loan to buy this property. So it was
already
a
I don't like the situation.
It was a transaction that there was no appraisal. There was no credit check on it, although the person has good credit. But ultimately what happened is they bought a home with a failed septic system.
And
not even failed. There was a system in place, but it's a what we call a bootleg system. It was put in without permits. Now we have a huge mess.
Okay, my eyes are huge right now.
Because the health department was already aware of this issue.
Been flagged?
Yes, it had been flagged. And so there was a notice on title that this property had a failed system. The agent, that put this together, didn't do a title search, didn't do any sort of advice on that. It is Washington state law, if I'm not not wrong about it, that the property has to have a septic inspection to be sold.
Well, if it's in King County, it depends on the county.
Yeah, this is Pierce County. But
Pierce County has one as well.
They do.
Because they're trying to make sure that it's a habitable property.
Right. So now our situation is we have two choices. The first choice, and this is after over a month of working with the health department, they will allow this customer to try to get their existing bootleg system certified, but they're going to have to hire a consultant to come out, investigate it, make sure that it meets code and all of that. Their other alternative, alternative is hooked to sewer.
Ching ching.
Oh yeah, sewer for this customer means digging up a road for 200 feet. Down the middle of the road,
ching, ching.
And then connecting. Yeah, you're talking.
I'm just going to do all the sound
zeros
effects
just
today.
Keep piling on, right?
Oh,
yeah.
All God, because, I got a pit in
now,
my stomach.
Was this an avoidable situation?
Yes.
100% absolutely avoidable. Yeah. It would have taken just a quick title search and we would have been.
We need to get a title person on again, because I recently had a whole conversation with somebody about a title search and an easement on their property, and they're all peeved and they're going to have to go through a bunch of stuff. And it's like cha-ching with all the real estate attorneys and other people who are going to get involved, because They just, you know, they were mad at their agent. But I'm like, by the way, agents are not legally required to look at your title because we're not licensed title reps.
Right.
You know, insurance is outside of our licensing, so we can't give you advice. But
yes,
however,
but with that
you
said,
can look. You can look and highly recommend. Please call
one.
Your title agent.
Yeah, let's take a look at that title
and
least find out what's going on.
Have them explain to you what that means because that's an important aspect of the transaction.
What is this notice of a failed septic system I see on the title policy?
Or what is this IRS tax lien I see here? Or what is this 20-foot easement across where I would like to put a fence?
Right,
you know, there's
what
a lot
this?
Of stuff.
We call it a code compliance issue, which means an addition's been put on without a proper permit usually.
Right.
Things like that can be huge nightmares to sort out.
Oh, yeah. I had someone ask me the other day, they're like, well, shouldn't title always know that? I'm like, how does title know what you did to your house unless you tell them?
Mm-hmm.
So if someone does it and they use a contractor and they didn't have them get it permitted, how in the world would the title company know?
Yeah, they're not going to know.
Like, they're not.
I got a story about that, though, now.
Of course you do.
We have another client that did their own addition. And they also chopped a few trees down. And they got a notice from the city. This happened to be in Tukwila. They're looking at satellite imagery. And Tukwila is looking down, and they're looking at satellite.
That's the new
way
to
do
it.
Picture A and picture B. And they're going, there's a new addition here. And, you just took out four trees. They know that. And so this person's in a whole bunch of trouble, you know, because they have an unpermitted addition, and they're going to have to either rip it down, or again, trying to forensically get it reapproved. So we have, the big brother is literally looking down at you.
Oh yeah, you know that they're going to be doing that more often, and they're probably also going to start using those Google Driver guys. So we're talking about inspecting things.
Yeah.
How are rates?
Well,
can we inspect those real quick before we run out of time? You got like 30 seconds, buddy.
We're looking a little bit better. So actually, we've dipped under the 5% mark right now.
Ooh,
so
yay.
The national average 30-year fixed rates, 4.82%.
Ooh, jump on it.
Yeah, a little bit better than we were. 15-year fixed rates hovering on 4.35.
Cool.
FHA and VA, 4.33. And
nice.
Jumbo is hovering right around 4.52. So
still staying pretty
everything's
solid.
Everything's looking pretty good.
Nice.
We finally reached a point where we have what's called an inverted yield curve. What does
that
mean?
Oh, I love that phrase.
Ooh, scary thought. You know what? When we come back, I want to tell you all about the inverted yield curve. So stay
tuned.
Okay,
but in the shortest way possible, because we have an awesome guest today.
Absolutely. Stay tuned. More Open House with Team Reba.
Open House with Team Reba on AM 1590. The answer.